All right, you can laugh a little bit. We're as Christians, we should be joyful people. But when we think of the story of Zacchaeus, that's probably what you think of, right? If you grew up in the church at all, you're familiar with that song. And that's what we know about the story of Zacchaeus. But in Luke chapter 19, there is so much more to the story of Zacchaeus and God's amazing work as Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you love us. And Lord, as we look at the story of Zacchaeus, may we be reminded of your incredible grace in our lives. And Lord, may we be people of love and grace in response to how you love and show grace to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 19, the first 10 verses, follow along as I read. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it," that's the religious leaders and the Jews, "they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be with a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" So we've been looking at close encounters when people meet Jesus. And so let's look at the encounter here, and then we'll see some things that God did in the life of Zacchaeus. But first of all, the encounter, it was in Jericho. Now, Jericho was called the City of Palms. It was a resort town. It was known for its palm trees and its roses. It also had balsam plantations, and were known for the beautiful aroma that these plantations created. And Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, and he was very rich. And those two often went together. Now, in a town that included many of the wealthy of Israel, Zacchaeus stood out because of his incredible wealth. And as a tax collector, his wealth was attained through taking from others. Tax collectors, I'm going to share the obvious here, tax collectors were despised. They were despised for many reasons, and let's just look at a couple of them that in that time in Israel, we see that Zacchaeus and the other tax collectors were very despised by the people of Israel. First reason is they collected taxes. I mean, think about it. What do you think when you hear the letters IRS? Usually they say when you hear something like IRS, your blood pressure has a tendency to go up, your heart rate goes a little faster, and so an IRS agent usually isn't the person you invite over for a holiday dinner. And Zacchaeus, just in the fact that he collected taxes, he was not very popular. In the 1990s, Jay Leno shared his thoughts about the IRS, and it was at the time where Bill Clinton was president, and so Jay Leno said this. He said, "President Clinton says he looks forward to the day a citizen can call the IRS and get the right answer to a question." And then Jay goes on and says this, "I look forward to the day I can call the IRS and get a voice that says, 'Sorry, this number has been disconnected.'" We're not overly excited about it, but there were other things. I mean, we look at, you know, at paying our taxes, and we may not be excited about how much we pay, but we recognize that we get some benefit for the taxes that we pay. We drive on roads, etc. All these things that we do get benefits. But the Jews had more reasons to be angry at Zacchaeus and the other tax collectors. You see, Zacchaeus and the other tax collectors worked for the Romans. And they were considered traitors. Oftentimes they were Jewish people that worked for those people that had conquered them. And so they were considered traitors, part of the Roman government, even though they were Jewish friends or relatives. So they considered them traitors. And also how they would make some extra money, these tax collectors, is they were able to keep any extra that they collected. And so they were considered greedy and dishonest. The more money they could collect from people, the more wealth they gained. And they used the authority of the Roman government to pressure people. And they were just not well liked. Because of their aggressive collections and their ties to the Roman government, they weren't necessarily the most popular people in town. So here's Zacchaeus, a rich tax collector. But when he heard Jesus was coming through Jericho, he was intrigued and he went out to see him. However, by the time Zacchaeus arrived, large crowds were already assembled, and Zacchaeus had a problem because he was short and the crowds were large. And you say, oh yeah, well, just as a short person, you can sometimes sneak through. You know, you see the little kids that sneak through to get to the front of the crowd. But think about Zacchaeus. If he would have tried to sneak through and people would have recognized who he was, he probably could have got into the middle of the crowd and maybe didn't get out. And so Zacchaeus was stuck. And so he decided that he still needed to see Jesus. He was intrigued about this Jesus guy. So it says, like a little kid, he ran on ahead and found a tree that was there by the path that Jesus was going to go down, and he climbed up in the tree so he could see Jesus, this one he had heard about. Well, when Jesus came to that place in the road, it says that Jesus looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. Now, if you were here last week, we talked about that as we talked about the blind man who had been blind from birth, and Jesus and the disciples had left the temple and they were heading down the road. As they were heading down the road, Jesus saw this blind man that people had been walking by for years, who had been begging along the side of the road, and most of the people had been able to just ignore this man. But it says that Jesus stopped and saw. And then he reached out to the blind man. And we talked about that last week, how Jesus had compassion while others just passed by each and every day. In fact, we saw that the neighbors had a hard time even recognizing who he was. And his parents weren't willing to stand up for him when Jesus had performed an amazing miracle in his life. And the disciples were busy asking theological questions rather than reaching out to this man who had a need. And the religious leaders were so upset because all Jesus did was heal the man on the Sabbath. How dare he ruin the Sabbath tradition by doing some work on the Sabbath day? They were the ones who were truly blind, and the blind man was actually the one who saw, and saw that Jesus was the Messiah, the one he could worship. But so just like in that story, Jesus is coming along and the crowds must have been incredibly large and boisterous as Jesus was coming, and I'm sure they were wondering, is he going to do a miracle? Is he going to be doing some teaching? What's this Jesus going to do? And it says that Jesus, in the midst of all of this chaos, looked up and saw Zacchaeus. But it didn't end there. Then he called him by name. I'm sure that had to have floored Zacchaeus. Have you ever been somewhere and someone says hi to you and you don't know who they are, but they share your name? Whoa. And that's what Zacchaeus must have been thinking. He must have been thinking, he called me by name. But it didn't stop there. Not only did he call Zacchaeus by name, but then he said, Zacchaeus, you need to come down because I'm going to go spend time at your house. Now, what would you have been thinking then? I know what I'd have been thinking. Boy, I hope I cleaned up this morning. But Zacchaeus was amazed that this Jesus cared about him. And it says that he went joyfully. But he had a different reaction than the other people. Because while it says he joyfully took Jesus to his house, it says that the other people began to murmur or grumble. How dare this Jesus spend time with sinners? And let me tell you, Zacchaeus, they thought, he is a sinner. I mean, he's a greedy, Roman-loving tax collector. Can't get much worse than that. But Zacchaeus was joyful. And it's interesting how I think God has a sense of humor. The name Zacchaeus actually means righteous one or pure one. And they were thinking, yeah, he is the opposite of that. He's a thief. He's a greedy thief. And his name means righteous or pure one. Well, Zacchaeus had a close encounter with Jesus Christ, and his life was radically changed. And as we see in those next verses that we read, he determined to go above and beyond the requirements of the law in giving back to those he had cheated. And it starts and it says, and if I have there, I believe it's about verse 7, it's actually, the word could be translated since. No one questioned whether Zacchaeus had cheated people. But he said, I'm going to repay them fourfold, and I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. A far cry from the man that morning who was focused upon himself and focused upon all that he could get. And then it goes on to say that Jesus there in verse 9 says, today salvation has come, and he is a son of Abraham. Now, two things we need to understand there. First of all, today salvation has come. Salvation didn't come because Zacchaeus gave half of what he had to the poor. Salvation came because Zacchaeus accepted the gift of Jesus Christ. And what he did was a response to what he had been given. And that is a key to our walk with Jesus Christ. You see, our walk with Jesus Christ is to be a response to what we've been given. We have been given so much. If we've accepted the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, we have an eternal home in heaven. We have a God who loves us unconditionally, no matter what we do. God loves each and every person. He loves those who accept Him, those who reject Him. It's amazing as you think about Jesus on the cross, when those same people who had been calling out, crucified Him, Jesus looked out to them and said, Father, forgive them. The incredible love of Jesus Christ to the world that needs Him. But we see that we have hope in Christ, and we have freedom because of God's grace. And Zacchaeus gave in response to what God had done. And then it says not only salvation has come to this house, but it says that he is a son of Abraham. And you say, well, yeah, he's a Jew. But Jesus was looking at a spiritual family. And if you look in the book in Romans, and there's other places, Galatians also mentions it, but where it talks about how we can be the spiritual seed of Abraham. If there comes a time in our life when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are God's children. We are part of God's family, and we're part of this spiritual seed of Abraham. And so Jesus was saying, listen, salvation has come because Zacchaeus has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he is part of God's family. His eternal destiny has been changed. And because of all of that, Zacchaeus responded with love, grace, and generosity toward others. A response to what God had done for him. And then the final verse there, verse 10, the final verse that we read, says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The religious leaders and the others outside were complaining because Jesus was going to visit this tax collector. But just like in the story of the blind man, the people in this story missed God's point and missed Christ's love because they were so busy trying to look good on the outside to impress others. They missed what it meant to have a relationship with a loving Savior who has grace and mercy toward us. And so we see the encounter was a life-changing encounter. And the encounter that Zacchaeus had with Jesus Christ is the same encounter that he desires to have with each and every one of us. A life-changing encounter. And, you know, last week we looked and we saw the contrast. The one who was blind was really the one who saw, and the ones who had good vision physically really were blinded spiritually. Well, if we look at the story of Zacchaeus, we see some different contrasts. How he began the day and how he finished the day. What people maybe thought, but what was reality. And so let's look at a few of these contrasts this morning. First of all, the contrast, it was the looking and found contrast. Zacchaeus began the day looking for Jesus, seeking him out. But it was really Jesus that found Zacchaeus. Have you ever played hide and seek when you don't know who's it? See, Zacchaeus thought he was it looking for Jesus, but Jesus knew he was it looking for Zacchaeus. And Jesus found Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus began the day seeking Jesus out of curiosity. But Jesus sought out Zacchaeus and shared with him the hope of eternal life. Zacchaeus considered himself a host, but in many ways he was a guest. Zacchaeus invited Jesus to his house, but Jesus invited Zacchaeus to join his family. Zacchaeus made the choice to host Jesus, but in the end, Zacchaeus was given much more. He was given eternal life. And we see the fact that Zacchaeus was small. But actually in this story, Zacchaeus is the one who comes up big. Zacchaeus was small in stature, but he became big in faith. He's one of the most hated men in town. I'm sure that Zacchaeus was constantly ridiculed for being short. Now, I was going to play the song. Instead, we did the VeggieTales. I was going to play the song, Short People Got No Reason to Live. Anybody remember that song, right? Okay. Now, when I was in grade school, that was a very popular song for some people, not for me, because I was short. But the idea that I'm sure Zacchaeus got ribbed, because he had the authority of the Roman government, so physically these people couldn't do anything to him, but I have a feeling he was constantly mocked for being short. You ever think back to your school days, maybe the most popular people, if you weren't the most popular person, you always looked at the most popular person and tried to find their flaws, right? You guys didn't do that? Well, yeah, you know, they may be handsome and the star of the team and dating the head cheerleader, but he got a B on his math test. So I'll make sure everybody else knows that, because if I can make him look worse, then maybe I look a little better. I'm sure these people were just ridiculing Zacchaeus over and over and over again. If Short People Got No Reason to Live was sung during Zacchaeus' time, I'm sure the people were humming it every time as they walked by him. But he was really the big person in the story. While others were taller, their faith was weak. While Zacchaeus was short, his faith was big. And we see when he turned to Jesus, his faith was huge and his life made a radical change. But we also have the contrast of poor and rich. You see, Zacchaeus began the day rich in possessions and poor in hope, but he ended poorer in possessions and rich in hope. And you think about Zacchaeus, I think he lived a miserable life up until this point. Nobody wanted to be his friend. He was despised by everyone. The Romans enjoyed what he brought in, but he couldn't be considered their friends because he was still a Jew. And the Jews hated him because they looked at him as a Roman. In a sense, he was like a man with no country and a man with no hope. The picture of Ebenezer Scrooge. Somebody that had earthly possessions but didn't have true joy. And so Zacchaeus was poor in hope. But by the end of the day, that changed 180 degrees. The people looked at Zacchaeus and they saw someone that they despised. But Jesus looked at Zacchaeus as someone that he loved. And so we see that Jesus could look through the rough exterior and see a life that could be changed by God's love. And after putting his trust in God, he recognized how much he had received and couldn't stop giving to others. You see, he received God's grace and he responded with love. Now, I want you to think about this. If you were asked, and by the way, you are going to be asked right now, what should be different about Christians than other people in the world? What would be your response? What should be different about Christians than other people in the world? Think about it. Now, probably one of the first answers, and there's more than one answer, I believe. Probably your first answer would be, well, love. You know, in 1 John, it talks about this is how they know that you're a Christian, because of your love. Yeah, that's true. But other people can love. I don't think they can maybe love quite to the extent that we should love, but they can love. What would it be? I think the word grace is a word that we should be known by. You think about Zacchaeus. What made Jesus different than the other religious leaders? You see, in the story, Zacchaeus didn't begin by understanding that Jesus Christ was God's Son come in human form. He considered him one of these religious rabbis, a teacher. But he was different than the rest. You see, because while all the others looked at these external, fake, put-on shows, Jesus demonstrated grace to a man that didn't deserve it, which is the definition of the word, grace. And you see, Zacchaeus received a gift that he could not pay for, even though he was very wealthy. But in response to the gift, his life changed radically. But we're called to do the same thing. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your life is to be different. It's to be radically different. It's to be a life of grace. And I want us to think about that for a minute. The Apostle Paul was writing in Titus chapter 3. And in Titus chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was just finishing up this letter to one of a young man he mentored named Titus. And so he begins chapter 3 and saying, all right, Titus, we need to be different. And at one point we weren't. But beginning in verses 4 and 5, he starts to share how God has made a difference in our life. And verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And we see that our life should be different. because of what has been done to us and for us. And in verse 8, he shares how we should be different. He said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." We should be different because of what we have received. And that's what made Zacchaeus different. You see, in the story, the religious leaders and the people of Jericho weren't the ones who demonstrated faith. It was Zacchaeus. He was the one who was different. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote those words in Titus chapter 3, could understand. You see, he began his adult life by persecuting the Christians, persecuting them, having them thrown in jail, even having them killed for their faith. But then he had a close encounter with Jesus Christ. And his close encounter with Jesus Christ changed his life radically. And if you read his letters that he wrote that are recorded in the New Testament, it's amazing what they begin with and what they end with. You see, when people would write a letter, they would begin with a standard greeting. But Paul would always begin with what? Grace and peace. And then how would Paul end his letters? "And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." You see, Paul understood, just like Zacchaeus understood, the incredible grace that had been given to him, that had been shown to him by an all-powerful God. And he could not help but talk about it and live differently because of it. And that is what we're called to be. You see, we're not just called to receive, which is incredible, but we're called to respond. And can you imagine those people around Zacchaeus who had spent their lives looking at this despised man, but now they saw a changed man who was totally different? So what should grace look like in our lives? Well, think about it at the sporting event. Can you imagine the referee that, and I know this never happens, but in case it does, the referee that makes a bad call, or at least in your eyes makes a bad call, and you call him over and say, "God loves you." No. You suggest an eye doctor they should visit, right? Or can you imagine the neighbor that's playing their music too loud and you bring him a pie? "Glad you're my neighbor." Grace. That's what we're called to have. But oftentimes we can be like the other people in the city of Jericho. Busy trying to look good ourselves and condemning those that we don't think meet the standard. That's not what we're called to be. And a close encounter with Jesus Christ should cause us to be people of grace. And so when others look at us, they see someone who is different. Why? Because we're responding to the greatest gift of all. You see, Zacchaeus received the greatest of all gifts, and he responded by giving. And we are called to do the same. To give our lives, our love, our grace in response to the incredible love and grace that has been given to us. There's one person that was really changed. And we find that the shortest person in the story actually had the biggest faith. And his name was Zacchaeus. So the next time you hear the little song, we probably won't play it next week, but next time you hear the little song, be reminded, am I a person of grace? Am I a person that responds to the grace and love that was given to me by demonstrating grace and love to the lives of people that I come in contact with. Let's pray. Father, we're amazed at your goodness and your grace. And Lord, may we be like Zacchaeus. Whether we're big or tall physically or short, may we be big in our faith and big in our grace, and that people would see you through the way that we live because of our close encounter with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.